your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm going to get you a couple pieces of news that you need to know as the day goes on. The Vikings have come to terms on a one-year deal with wide receiver Tajay Sharp. Sharp signs that one-year deal to come in. Remember, at this point, Stephon Diggs no longer with the Vikings. So Sharp, 25 years old, had 25 catches for 329 yards, a career-high 4 touchdowns last season. That was his 4th season with the Titans. He now moves to Minnesota, where he will have the opportunity to compete for the number 2 spot. Speaking of the NFL, other NFL news, the NFL wants the April draft to go on as scheduled, even though GMs are recommending postponement. Several GMs are concerned that in the current environment with off-season activities canceled and some teams' facilities closed, there won't be enough time for physicals, gathering psychological testing, getting further verified information about players, and some teams having to conduct the draft from home. So all eyes continue to be on what the NFL will be doing. We know the draft won't be a large event in Vegas, but we don't know exactly what it will be. Those are just a couple of the headlines. We will keep you updated on breaking news as it comes in. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And as always, we like to spin something from First Take to get your take on it. A lot of Cam talk today. We're going to deep dive into Cam Newton. So my question for you, where's Cam going to go and why? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, 888-729-3776. Tell me where Cam's going. Make a compelling case for it. Heck, even tell me if you think he's going to be good or bad there. So your thoughts on Cam Newton, that's what we want to take. And we're going to start with some Straight Talk, because Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage. And he get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. Saves you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at StraightTalk.com. We got the Straight Talk today as Mike Greenberg from Get Up joined First Take with Max and Stephen A. to talk about the timing specifically. There's an issue here that Stephen A. particularly has with the timing of the Panthers releasing Cam Newton.
Things are parallel or lateral moves when it comes to the Carolina Panthers. Greeny, with all due respect, that's patently false. The fact of the matter is Devin Funchess is now in Green Bay. Greg Olsen is in Seattle. You know, when you look at the Carolina Panthers, clearly they're moving in a different direction. They still have Christian McCaffrey, but the bottom line is it's not the same team. Even Kyle Allen is with the Redskins now, your backup that became a starter once Cam Newton went down. Look at what you have. It's not the same team. Things have changed drastically for the Carolina Panthers. So when I look at it from that perspective, and you combine it with the fact that you got an owner in place that's really, really put his foot to the pedal. You got a new coach in place now that rule is there. You got a new quarterback. You got a new tight end. All right. You got a new wide receiver. I'm sorry. That's not the same situation. And if that's not the same situation, I think if you're the Carolina Panthers, you can make the legitimate argument that indeed there are no regrets, because we're relatively playing with house money. Cam Newton's presence there, all right, came with expectations. Without him there, you're hopeful for Teddy Bridgewater, but he's young enough where you can look towards the future in terms of immediate success. Christian McCaffrey is a stud, no question about that, but everything else around him is suspect right now. You've got players, you know, that are like Keekly is gone and Davis is gone, and I brought up Olsen and Funchess already, and now Cam Newton. This is not the same team. So because of that, you're sitting back and you're saying, hey, excuse me, if we win a few games, so be it. If we don't, everybody understands we're moving in a different direction. The level of expectations isn't draped on our shoulders. And as a result, we can afford to go out there, modify things to some degree, because it's going to be a bit different. This is not the same team from the owner to the coach on down. All of that stuff makes me say there are no regrets about Cam Newton here.
That's not yet. I think that you're right, Stephen A. Mike, to your point, like, what are they thinking other than maybe he's damaged goods? I think when Tepper bought the team, he thought, we keep getting to a certain place, we're good, but I want to try to be great. My hat's off to him. So we tore the whole thing down, got rid of a good coach, kind of remade the whole thing, and Bridgewater is a really good stopgap kind of quarterback. You can put him at the helm. He'll steady the ship. The culture will be good from the top down, from the quarterback position down. And either he'll get it done, or more likely, if he's not quite, you know, get you over the hump Super Bowl quarterback, you'll have the right kind of thing in place that when you find that guy, you can slide him in. So the question with Cam in terms of their regret is, can he perform again at an exceptionally high level? I think he can, because right before this injury, as a slightly modified version of him, he wasn't, you know, as physical as he was when he won the MVP. He was a better passer than he'd ever been. So even if he can split the difference between his MVP season's physicality and the passing under North Turner, that's a hell of a quarterback. And I think if the Panthers and Tepper see, boy, Cam Newton's making a deep playoff run as the best player on the team, I think they'll have regrets.
Can I say one other thing? And that is that if there was ever a team that was set up to be tanking for Trevor, it would seem to be the Carolina Panthers. They are suddenly in the best division in the National Football League, where all the quarterbacks are old. Matt Ryan is the youngest quarterback that they will have to face this year in the division. You have Brady and Breeze, who will be a combined 84 years old when the season begins. The direction they could go is to trade away Christian McCaffrey and try and get all that you could in exchange for him, because having him is like putting fancy rims on a car with no engine. And the problem is, they bring in Teddy Bridgewater, who's just
good enough.
Unless
you're Bill O'Brien trading him.
Just good, exactly. But listen, Steve, Teddy Bridgewater makes them just good enough to not get the number one pick. You know what I mean? Like, you could have completely torn it down to the studs.
I'm not, listen, the only reason I would be a proponent for trading Christian McCaffrey is because I got love for the brother, because he's such a stud and he's underappreciated as far as I'm concerned. He's big time and he doesn't deserve to be in a rebuilding situation. Outside of that, if I'm the Carolina Panthers, there's no way in hell I'm letting him go. On my last point, nobody has said this, but I said this to you on Get Up before we transitioned here to First Take, Greeny. Cam Newton got screwed over and people need to recognize that. The Carolina Panthers could have let him go earlier. They did not have to wait to this late date after most of the teams made their decisions with quarterback positions open to decide that, you know what, we're going to let him go. They screwed him over. They should have done a better job by him. He deserved better from the Carolina Panthers.
Based on what, Stephen A.? I mean, I have to come back and challenge that mindset. Look, it's easy to turn around and say the timing of it doesn't make a lot of sense because, frankly, we don't know all of the details. We don't know where Cam's health was. And let's keep in mind, you can't just release a player that hasn't passed a physical. They had to go through the physical process just to get him released. They had to let him seek a trade, which means they felt like he could pass a physical, but we don't know what the physical side of it was. We don't know where the entire process was. We also don't know how the pandemic affected everything. We have no idea what was going on behind the scenes that could have affected the timing in any way, shape, or form. Ultimately, also, we have to remember the other side of it. Even if they didn't release Cam earlier, part of that is business. They're trying to figure out what they're doing at the quarterback position. It is business for everybody, and we see this constantly. You see players deciding that they're going to walk away whenever it's right for them to walk away, and I believe that players should have the opportunity to do that because players are empowered. Players should control their own lives. Well, it's a business for players, and it's a business for teams also. So what? Ultimately, if you don't like the timing of it, you don't like the timing of the release, at some point we have to understand that everybody in this, whether it's the players or whether it's the teams, everybody is in this for their own best interests. I don't know why we keep seeing it as some altruistic world. This isn't your buddies playing football in the front yard. This is business for quarterbacks and business for teams, and they're all figuring out how to navigate it. I mean, are we turning around and questioning the timing of Tom Brady? If Brady knew he didn't want to remain with the Patriots, if he knew it's as simple as, I just don't want to be there. And remember, Robert Kraft made it clear, according to him, that if Brady wanted to stay, they would have allowed that to happen. Have we once looked at it and suddenly said, well, you know what? Brady really screwed over the Patriots by not letting them know months ago. If he didn't want to play there, why didn't he let them know as soon as possible? I mean, we have to acknowledge there's business portions of this we're not fully privy to, but we also have to acknowledge that even when we do know everything, through it all, it's a business. You sign the contract and then you retire, or you enforce your will when you can as a player, or from a team side, you do what you want when you want. Why are we turning it around and making it personal when at the end of the day, through all of it, your favorite sport is at its core a business? It's First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. Now, we want you guys to chime in. Where's Cam headed? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Tell me where Cam's headed. Tell me why. You can also tweet me and tell me your thoughts there. We've had a couple of tweets at this point asking or saying that the thought is that he's going to head to the Texans. That would surprise me greatly. But we've had a couple of tweets for where I think he's ultimately going to go, which is the Chargers. And look, for me, it makes a lot of sense to go to the Chargers because at the end of it all, understand that right now, because of the pandemic, the team doctors can't necessarily go check every player. There's not the ability to go out and do the same physical checks that we've been able to do. It's part of what we referenced at the beginning when we talked about the postponement of the draft that some GMs want. So when you think about the ability to see a player and have your doctors poke and prod them, that's not necessarily something that teams can do right now. So you got to look for a team that's willing to wait to give Cam an opportunity. To me, that means a team that has a quarterback that they're at least somewhat comfortable with. All reports have been that the Chargers are comfortable with Tyrod Taylor, right? And that they're at least comfortable going into the season giving him the opportunity. If that's the case, they can maintain him as the starter. They can be comfortable with him as the starter. And when the opportunity arises, which might be 1 month, it might be 2 months, it might be the middle of summer. We have no idea. When everybody's cleared to be able to do normal league activities and they can get their opportunity to check out Cam from a health standpoint, at that point, if he's worth signing, you bring him in. If he's not, you've still got a quarterback you're comfortable with. How many teams can actually wait and be that patient with what they want to do at the quarterback position? Not many. And frankly, the other part of it is Cam the player. Fine. Cam the brand, impactful. And that's a little bit of what we talked about yesterday when we talked to David Newton, the ESPN NFL Nation Panthers reporter. What we were talking to David about was the brand, relevance. Relevance is what Cam brought to the Panthers, all right? Relevance is what Cam can bring to the Chargers. At some point, just his flamboyant personality, just Cam the individual, Cam the human being, becomes brand power. And that's something that at least causes people to pay attention to the Chargers. They're going into a massive stadium, and there's no interest in the team. So bringing in a star is something that seems impactful. So combined with the fact that they have a quarterback they seem to be comfortable with, it gives them the opportunity to really wait and see what happens with Cam, and if he's healthy, sign him. That's why I think he's headed there. Josh on Twitter says the Raiders, because he has better upside than Carr, and we're probably more likely to move him to a team that could use a quarterback if Cam does well. That's the other part of it. I mean, if the Raiders were looking at acquiring Cam, then really what they'd be looking at doing is trading Derek Carr and going in with Cam and Marcus Mariota at their quarterback position. So that would be weird. At least it would be interesting to keep an eye on. So I want your thoughts on it. Charlie in Indiana, what's your take? Where do you think Cam's going and why?
Well, I was thinking about that this morning. First off, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Cam.
I was thinking about the situation and the age that Cam Newton is in and the teams that he can go to, where he can sit a year on waiting. There's two teams that I had in mind. The Colts, who have what they have, and as far as I know, he only signed for 1 year. The Saints, Drew Brees, did he sign for more than 1 year?
Well, Brees is on a 2 year. Thanks for the call. Charlie, thanks for the call. Phillip Rivers is in Indy, and I would have a hard time imagining that the Colts would then bring Cam in because they're such different quarterbacks. So I'm not sure. And I'm not sure Cam really is looking to sit for a year. He believes he's healthy at this point. So and then to your point on the Saints, they believe in Taysom Hill. Like we can all sort of shake our heads at that, but they tendered Taysom Hill and a first round offer, which means they're going to give him plenty of money. So I don't necessarily know that that's going to be a great opportunity. Getting a lot of tweets at this point mentioning the Dolphins. The Dolphins also a good call here. They need brand power. They spent $131 million the first day of free agency to make themselves better. Why not give yourself a quarterback that's going to continue to make your team relevant? So we'll keep taking your take on a 888, say ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's first take your take. We're brought to you by Shell, V-Power, Nitro Plus, Premium Gasoline. Before we get back to your take, I want you to hear a little bit more about First Take. Not about the Dolphins, but about, I don't know, the other team in Florida people are talking about, I guess. The Bucs? I don't know why they're... Oh, yeah, Tom Brady. In the meantime, Stephen A. and Max had the discussion about what Brady has to prove in going to the Bucs.
Not a damn thing. You know, as far as I'm concerned, his legacy is cemented. We all know this. But if there was something that he wanted to peel from all of this, it's really to show that he's not done. That's it. Nothing more. To show that last year was simply flukish from the standpoint that he was bereft of weapons. And because he didn't have the weapons necessary in order to be productive, that's why he was in a position to take the hits that he's taken in terms of slippage that people are alluding to and things of that nature. I loved yesterday watching ESPN with folks talking about how numerous the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had examined them, watched tape and whatever. and saw no mechanical deficiencies, you know, just the kind of things that you look for from a quarterback, you know, the, you know, drop stepping and coming back and flinging the football, the velocity on the throws, et cetera, et cetera. They were talking about there was no flagrant slippage on a part of Tom Brady. When they talked about him holding the ball a little bit too long, you were talking about the relationship that he had with those young receivers, whether or not guys were running right routes, the level of faith that he had in them to run those right routes, keeping the turnovers at a minimum, et cetera, et cetera. There are a plethora of things that could have gone in to why you saw Tom Brady looking the way that he looked last year. You don't anticipate that's going to be the case this year. And I think that Tom Brady knows that, which is why he elected to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's not going to Tampa Bay if there was no Mike Evans there, no Mike Evans caliber of player, no Chris Godwin caliber of player, no O.J. Howard or Cameron Brake kind of player, with Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich calling the shots on the offense, etc. Tom Brady's not going to someplace like that. If he didn't have weapons, he might as well have stayed in New England if that were the case. So I think that really, to me, it's slim to nothing that he has to prove. But if you want to peel something out of it that he wants to prove, is that last year was an aberration. He still has more left than people realize.
Tom Brady has to prove that he can be great without Bill Belichick. That's what he has to prove. Because people like Stephen A., and there are a lot of them out there who say Tom Brady hasn't really slipped, some say at all, physically or not appreciably. It's really what he had around him, or rather didn't have around him last year, even though I would counter with, well, Bill Belichick saw slippage. That's why he designed the team around the running game and especially the defense the last couple of years. It was good enough to win a Super Bowl 2 years ago and to win 12 games this past season. And the reason he did that is he could see that's the way, given the kind of quarterback Tom Brady now is, that they could win. Good game manager, could still be big on third down when you needed him. So those kind of guys operate well, running game, defense. That's what Belichick gave him. That's why they won a Super Bowl and then followed up with 12 wins. But for people like Stephen A., who are saying, no, mechanically and physically, it's all there, the arm strength, the accuracy, it's really just the receivers. He didn't have anyone to throw to, get separation, run the right routes, have rapport with, all that stuff. Well, okay, he's going to a team that's loaded on that side of the ball, even have an underrated defense and a great coach. He's going to that place. So, Stephen A., if there's no slippage, then as you would say, no excuses. He should be great. So if he's not great with the Bucs, then I think it would be fair to say for people like you, I'll say Brady got old. I thought he was old before this. But you're going to have to say, okay, it was Bill Belichick. Brady couldn't be great without him. That's what your position and people who take that position are saying about this season, whether they realize it or not.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio. Can we be real for a second? If Brady goes out and is just hot garbage with the Buccaneers, frankly, who cares? He's still Tom Brady. He's still a first ballot Hall of Famer. And in the moment, debate shows will spend all day yelling about who gets more credit, Brady or Belichick. But let's be real. The minute that he comes up for the Hall of Fame, there won't be any discussion about what happened at the end of his career. There is nothing left for Tom Brady to prove. There's nothing left for Bill Belichick to prove. They're both one of the best at what they've ever done, and they're both first ballot Hall of Famers. They're going to walk right in no matter what happens once their partnership is separated. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. Don't forget, tune in to the ESPN Daily Podcast. Get you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by ADT. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. I want to get a little of your take in. John in Florida, what's your take on where Cam's headed?
Cam, if healthy, needs to go to Denver Broncos. You don't know what you have in Drew Lock. You got Melvin Gordon, Phillip Lindsay. You run that RPO, run heavy, run the ball down people's throat, and I think that's the best situation for him.
No, John, I love that call, actually. I mean, as a Raiders fan, I don't think you're wrong about that. He'd be a good fit in Denver as much as they've got going on right there. And you're right. Drew Lock is not somebody that I'd bet the house. I wouldn't bet Mike Golick Sr.'s house on Drew Lock. Ivan from Pennsylvania. Ivan, what's your thoughts on Cam? Where's he going and why?
What's up, Jay Fitz? I think Cam's going to end up with the Patriots. I think it'd be a big wrinkle for Bill Belichick. He's never had a quarterback who could run and put that wrinkle in their offense. He's really never played with great wide receivers besides Steve Smith at the end of his career. So it doesn't really much matter that the Patriots don't have too many options at wide receiver. I think Bill Belichick can make it work with a running quarterback.
Well, and man, I think the entire NFL landscape is just like cowering in fear at the thought of a former MVP joining Bill Belichick, right? Like, if there's anyone that's going to make it work, it's the Patriots. Somehow, some way, that's what they do. I want to keep getting your take on it. Where's Cam headed and why? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll keep getting your take on it. But next, Joe Burrow is the consensus number one pick for the NFL draft. Or is he? You'll hear what First Take thinks, and I'll give you my thoughts, having seen all these quarterbacks up close this year. We'll do all that next, but first, Home Depot is changing the way doing gets done. With a pocket full of digital tools on the Home Depot app, like image search. This is really cool. You can snap a picture with the app and find what you need. The product locator will not only tell you how many are in store, but it will also tell you right where it is, down to the aisle and shelf, with everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. Plus, this is important, from online tools to free delivery on over 1 million items. Welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. Who's going to be getting it done is the top pick in the draft. You'll hear all of our thoughts next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio. First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitch. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and you're hanging out with us on the show. Vento Performance Line. Where's Cam going and why? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you chime in. Where's Cam headed and why? Speaking of Cam, he's not the only quarterback that was discussed. There are rumblings at this point that there's the consideration that the Bengals might look at taking Tua Tagovailoa with the first overall pick instead of Joe Burrow. Is it sort of just, is this draft magic? Is this smoke? Is it fire? What is it really? Well, Dan Orlovsky joined Max and Stephen A. to talk about whether the Bengals should actually consider Tua ahead of Joe Burrow.
You have to consider Tua. Like, it'd be negligent not to consider Tua, because so much of this stuff, from our point of view, from fans' point of view, is based on perception and how we kind of, the kind of sense of where people are rising and falling. But the experts, the people who are actually going to have to make this pick, have to be much more sober in their analysis. Tua's issue is this: durability, period. That's it. That's the only issue. His arm strength isn't like A++, but it's good enough. He is a special player with a much deeper resume than Joe Burrow, and a little bit younger, but a much deeper resume. Burrow's heights, the highest heights he achieved, were greater than Tua's because of the season he just had, capped by the final game he just had. So that's amazing for Joe Burrow, but it's a thinner resume than Tua's, who's shown in a big sample size he is a special passer. He is like, he has speed to extend plays, but he's a pocket passer, the kind who throughout history has been very successful in the NFL. He's compared to Drew Brees a lot for good reason. And on top of all that, the kind of sense you get of a guy, right? Which, and sometimes that causes some guys to be overrated, like Mark Sanchez, for example. But that sense you get that this guy's a winner, Tua has all that stuff. I mean, all those kind of special qualities that you just feel as a leader, and when the chips are down on the field, he has. But then he's also so accurate. Look at the records he set, and look where he set them. Completion percentage, touchdowns thrown, the whole thing. He is such a special player. Many teams were talking about, or at least fans were talking about, their team wanting to tank for Tua 2 years in advance, and now, because of a durability issue, he's off your board. Yeah, he couldn't be picked number one. Nonsense. You have to consider Tua very carefully.
No, you don't. You don't have to consider him if you're the Cincinnati Bengals. That's number one. Number two, I don't know what extensive experience you're talking about Tua has compared to Joe Burrow, because Joe Burrow played 28 games over the last 2 years and Tua's played 24. Number three, take into account that Tua was a backup at Alabama, came into the national championship game in the second half and saved them against Georgia and ultimately won the national championship. He comes back, you know, they lose to Clemson, and then obviously last year he gets injured against Mississippi State. We understand that. We also understand and he completed 71% of his passes, but Joe Burrow completed 76% of his passes. Joe Burrow, by the way, threw 60 touchdowns last year. Let's not forget that, en route to winning the national championship, en route to winning the Heisman Trophy. I'm not telling you that Tua is not a bad brother. Tua is special, and if he were 100% healthy, I would be all for him. But that hip injury scares the living hell out of me, and that's not the first time he has been injured. You couple that with the fact that Joe Burrow is an Ohio native, and he is somebody that the locals have gravitated to, particularly in the aftermath of that Heisman speech. You combine all of that with what he brings to the table, and it's proven he brings to the table as a football player. And because we're talking about Cincinnati, meaning Cincinnati, Ohio, the Bengals organization, who should be thankful, who should be on their knees, thanking the good Lord every day that somebody is remotely interested in cheering for their moribund behinds. The bottom line is, when you take all of that into consideration, you've got to go with Joe Burrow. If this is Miami, that's an entirely different conversation because Tua is worth that risk. But with so much on the side that you have to consider, if you're the Cincinnati Bengals with an Ohio native like Joe Burrow and what he brings to the table at this particular juncture, I don't think it's hard at all for the Cincinnati Bengals to say, we're not even going to consider Tua. Joe Burrow's our guy.
Yeah, I mean, could the Bengals... Could they consider Tua? Sure. Should they consider Tua? No. This is an easy pick for the Cincinnati Bengals. Max, everything that you said about Tua glowingly is correct. But I could literally take that and put it exactly under Joe Burrow's name. I want to kind of take apart the narrative of 2018 Joe Burrow, because everyone will say, like, yeah, he had a great 2019. But what was he, or where was he in 2018? A couple things that we all need to understand when it comes to Joe Burrow of 2018. One, he transferred to LSU late from Ohio State. He had to transfer late because of the transfer rules. He got there after the freshman got there at LSU. So that's part of the 2018 story. Second of all, he had not played football in 3 years, and that's when he won the starting job. It had been 3 years since he had been the quarterback, or starting quarterback. And then the third thing was, yep, if you watched the beginning of 2018 season with LSU, they were still running their old scheme.
Let's first take your take on ESPN News. Orlovsky making some big, important points there. A scheme makes such a difference, especially at the college level for a quarterback. Let me say this. All things being equal, if we knew health was not a factor, and I understand what Max is saying, you could have a real discussion, a real debate on Tua versus Joe Burrow. What does that mean? That means if Tua is 100% healthy, it's a worthwhile debate. It's not even sure there. So on top of that, when you take that factor in of not just the hip injury, but the fact that you're talking about two surgically repaired ankles and you're talking about a thumb that he also had issues with, you're talking about a lot of injuries for Tua. Look, I'm risk averse at the quarterback, and you guys know that. I went into last year's draft saying if my favorite team needed a quarterback last year, I simply wouldn't have picked one. I don't think any of them were worth banking my franchise on. I think this year there are two of them that are worth banking your franchise on, in Tua and in Joe Burrow. However, the health issues are real, and that's why this is clear cut. Any conversation that tries to make this a debate does two things. One, it oversells, or should I say undersells, the importance of injury to Tua Tagovailoa. But the other part of what it does that's important is it undersells how stinking good Joe Burrow is. I had the opportunity traveling with Game Day this year to see Joe Burrow 4 times live in person. By the end of it, by the national championship game, I looked at one of the guys that's next to me that I respect that breaks down quarterback play, and I said, why are we not having the same conversation about Joe Burrow right now that we were having about Andrew Luck when he came out? I think he is that stinking good for an NFL franchise. I think he makes the Bengals immediately substantially better. That's how good Joe Burrow is. I believe that Tua Tagovailoa is also that good, but the health injury is not something I'd be willing to ignore. If I'm the Bengals, this is clear cut. This isn't even up for debate. We are having your take on where Cam should go and why. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Russ in Cincinnati, which could be the home of Joe Burrow. Russ, where do you want Cam to go?
It's not necessarily where I want him to go, but if you think about it objectively, there's one place, maybe two, that Cam still has some life left in him, but might surprise you. And number one would be Cleveland. I don't think with a new coach and maybe a new system that everybody's sold on Baker Mayfield. Cam has a lot of life left, but is he ready to play right now? Could he go into Cleveland, get a reasonable shot at a start, maybe a couple, 6-7 weeks into it, enough time for him to grasp the system, enough time for his body to fully heal? And there's a lot of rumblings in Cleveland. We're in Cincinnati. We hear a lot of the fans of Cincinnati are Cleveland guys. You hear a lot of rumblings that Baker may not be the guy. You got two big-time receivers. You got a stable of running backs in the backfield. That's the first place, and then you can go possibly to Tennessee. Now, I know he's only Tannehill, only got 1 year. But again, are they going to sign him long-term? Two good places for a guy that's an MVP of the league who had one bad year, didn't have a lot of receivers, no offensive line. Cam has some life left. Could it be Cleveland, and could it be Tennessee?
Well, and thanks for the call. Tennessee did do a long-term with Tannehill at this point. So He got a 4-year deal. The first 3 years of it is basically most of the guaranteed money, but $118 million out. They're in on Tannehill. Otherwise, I would have, if they weren't in on Tannehill, I don't think that's a bad call. I'd be surprised to see the Browns give up on Cleveland, or I should say on Baker Mayfield so quickly. Just because that's not the way business is typically done for a first round quarterback. I know we can all point to Josh Rosen as the exception to the rule, but it just feels like we've gone so far the opposite direction on Baker. To me, the Browns as an organization, it would make a lot of sense for them to make sure that they give Baker every opportunity to sort of right the ship. I don't know if bringing in a former MVP is necessarily the best way to do that, but I do think it's an interesting call because I will say this. I think the Browns are a better team today, and they were overhyped a year ago right now. I think right now, because of the backlash on it, they're being underhyped today. They're a better team today at top to bottom than they're getting credit for. Sean in Virginia Beach, what's your take on Cam? Where's he going and why?
Hey, yes, thanks for taking my call first. I think that Cam is probably going to end up in Jacksonville. With Nick Foles recently being traded to the Bears, they are kind of in need of a quarterback at the moment, and I do believe with Cam Newton's ability to run play action that he would be a great complement with Leonard Fournette.
Look, I think the Jacksonville one is actually kind of interesting, only from the standpoint of, look, we've just presumed that Gardner Minshew is now the heir apparent, so you look at that and you say, okay, they're just going to go with Gardner Minshew. I don't know that it's that simple, but I'm not sure that they have the cap space, and I'm looking it up right now. They have about $20 million in cap space right now, according to Over the Cap. So maybe they could take that sort of hit. That obviously doesn't account for draft picks. But, I don't think it's a bad idea for Jacksonville to take a look at it if they don't believe that Gardner Minshew is necessarily the sure set answer. It depends on what type of deal they'd be looking at. That's an interesting concept, at least. Suddenly it's like we're trying to put them in Jacksonville or Miami to be some level of competition for what the Buccaneers feel like they've done with Brady. We'll keep taking your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Where's Cam headed? Tell me where, tell me why. Coming up next, we'll hear an important message, very important message from an NBA player. That is next. But first, you're the hiring manager. You're tasked with finding the most talented job candidates in your industry. That's a tall order. Indeed helps you narrow the field with their powerful suite of free tools to enhance your job posting. Screener questions identify quality candidates based on the must-have requirements you define, and online skills tests let job seekers show you just what they can do. Right now, post your first job at Indeed.com/DJ today. You get a sponsored job upgrade for free. That's Indeed.com/DJ. Terms and conditions apply. An important message from an NBA player you'll hear directly next. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio.
First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. You guys have stacked the phone lines. Shell Penzo Performance Line. Where's Cam headed and why? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll keep taking some of your take in just a minute. If you missed any of the first hour of today's show, go check it out on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checkings or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, NA member FDIC. Before we get back to your take, there's an important conversation happening right now, and it comes from Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns went to Instagram to update everybody on his mother's health. Rather than try and replay any of that to you in my words, we'll let you hear some of what Karl Anthony said.
My family, to only make this video so that people understand that the severity of this disease is real. This disease needs to not be taken lightly. Please protect your families, your loved ones, your friends, yourself. Practice social distancing. Please don't be in places with a lot of people. Just high as your chances of getting this disease. And this disease is not. It's deadly. It's deadly. And we're going to keep fighting on my side. Me and my family, we're going to keep fighting this. We're going to beat it. We're going to win. I ain't going to quit at any time. And neither with my whole family. Well, neither with my mother. So Dominican women are strong.
Carl Anthony.
I know they are. My mother, the strongest woman I know. And I know she'll beat this. We're gonna rejoice when she does.
That's Karl Anthony Towns directly from his Instagram talking about his mother right now and the health ramifications they're dealing with. This spurned a conversation between Stephen A. and Max about Karl Anthony Towns and going in and using his platform to educate all of us.
I've been blessed and fortunate to know his parents a little bit. A matter of fact, they always teased me every time they saw me because, you know, I was one of the idiots that thought that Minnesota should have grabbed Jahlil Okafor ahead of him. coming out of Kentucky, because I didn't see that kind of perimeter game that he had. So every time they see me, they remind me of that and make me apologize for doing that. But they're wonderful people. They're wonderful parents. And he loves his mama dearly, as you can see and you can imagine. He's incredibly concerned. My heart goes out to him and his family. And all we could do is pray that she'll have a speedy recovery, and we'll all get through this. And I really appreciate him taking the time to be conscientious enough to go on social media and make that video and disseminate that message to the masses, because the words that he articulated is definitely something we all need to heed, particularly at this moment in time.
Of course, your heart goes out to Karl Anthony Towns, and you hope is your heart goes out to Karl Anthony Towns. Mine does, obviously, whoever sees that, and hope his family, his mother, is okay, just as we hope all families are okay right now. This is going to get worse before it gets better. And the federal government is not really, hasn't nationalized the supply chain, things like that. States like New York, were asking for ventilators, aren't getting them. And understand, what we've experienced so far is the economic effects of social distancing. And that's serious. I'm not taking that lightly. There are people who, many people, if not most people, live paycheck to paycheck. And people in industries where, let's be honest, some of the money is off the books, or relies on, you know, the commerce, everyday commerce and interaction, are being hit hard. And there is a $2 trillion stimulus package that just passed, and you hope that that helps enough people. But that's what we've experienced so far, the economic effects. What's going to happen next are the actual, oh my God, there are all these cases of COVID-19, coronavirus. People can't breathe. They need ventilators. That's what will keep them alive. There aren't enough ventilators there. New York needs tens of thousands more than it has right now. So what Karl Anthony Towns is experiencing right now, many of us will be experiencing in the not too distant future. This is likely to get worse before it gets better.
Again, this is Minnesota Timberwolves star Karl Anthony Towns, whose mother right now is, according to reports, has been diagnosed with COVID-19. And at this point, she's been hospitalized with health complications. It is not known at this point what her status is, but we'll keep you updated as we get more information. It's a heavy note and a heavy reminder of why social distancing right now is so important, and why we all need to be responsible, not just for how we feel, but for the fact that we may be carriers that could hurt other people. First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm going to get back to your take. Let's get a couple of thoughts in here real quick. We'll get a little bit of thoughts on Cam. We're asking, where's Cam going to go, and why? Mike in Virginia Beach, thanks for calling the show. What's your take on Cam?
Hey, first of all, thank you very much for taking my call. You're doing a wonderful job. So I'm gonna go with my heart first to say Denver, because Denver would be a place. I've met John Elway before. Denver would be a place I think Cam would excel under that type of leadership. However, wouldn't it be amazing if he went to New England? Wouldn't that just automatically put New England in Super Bowl contention?
I mean, Mike, look, either of those make me incredibly uncomfortable as a Raiders fan. You know that. I think it could have success. The more you guys keep pitching me on Denver, the more I'm feeling a little like a little twinge of hope there for Cam. I think that could actually be a good spot. But you're right. If he ends up in New England, let's just be honest. I mean, we keep talking about what there is to prove and who there is to prove it to. Well, if you're Bill Belichick, I don't think you have anything left to prove in the world. I understand that. If you are one of, if not the greatest football coaches in the NFL of all time, and you have the opportunity to work with a former MVP, somebody that you know has tremendous talent, and you have the opportunity to rework your offense around that type of a player that's much different than Tom Brady, and prove that you can adapt to anybody and win with anybody at the highest possible level, are you intrigued? I mean, let's keep our minds open to the fact that there isn't. I don't believe Jarrett Stidham is a great option at quarterback. And as much as I love Brian Hoyer, the human being, I don't think they're going into Brian Hoyer as the future starter for the Patriots. So this one's starting to make a little bit more sense to me, too. We're brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. We're going to keep breaking up down Cam next. First Take Your Take, ESPN Radio.